sometimes these things happen beyond our control. We are the drivers, but you'll find that the bus does not have, you know, either fuel or doesn't have the key. Then you have to find a way to proceed with your duties. I think we need to open the meeting and welcome everybody present. I wanted to appreciate the honorable members' presence. It looks like today all of us, nearly all of us, we are here. It's a good thing to have, you know, members attending meetings as expected. One or two things that I should speak to. I did receive a letter from Honorable Lindiwe Mazibuko. It's a letter of an apology for the inconvenience that she has caused the committee last week. And I want to suggest that this is one thing that we need to have. Should accept that apology, that she realized that it wasn't supposed to be the way things happened last week, but it's human enough to accept that I disrupted, you know, other people's, and the letter does not serve as a withdrawal of the proposal, but just an articulation of an apology. I'm sure the process of withdrawal will follow the normal process through the speakers and so on. Hence, I'm saying we should, I suggest we must accept the apology as it is in good faith. The second part is an apology once again, that you might have received the early version of the agenda early yesterday, and then later, very late for that matter, you received the second version, which exclude other items. When we were sitting at the management committee meeting, we realized that the report about our visits to provinces were not, you know, were pleasing. It would have been unfair for us to allow it to come and be tabled here before yourself the way it was. So we said it should then be redone. You'll receive it next week. We once again apologizing for the inconvenience of giving and taking at the same time before other things. Having said all this, I think all of us, we have got the agenda in front of ourselves, which has got nearly four items, if not five, because I don't think adjournment is an item on itself, but you always catered for it, so that when you pronounce it, people should not be shocked as to where does it come from. Our main business is on item three. We will then arrive at determination on the proposal that we once been briefed by Honorable Trolley, whom we also welcome him here. He's present in the meeting. We will today have to take a determination as to where do we then want to take that particular proposal to. Moving forward, that conclude my welcome and input. And if anything, can you talk to it? No indication, then I can move to Honourable Bengu.
Both apologies accepted, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we then move to?
I would say apology accepted on the basis that it does not happen again.
Thank you very much. That is the case. We are now moving to apologies. Secretary, who apologized?
apologies. That the chair said that the reverse statute has taken what I asked for.
Really.
No, I didn't receive any apologies.
Thank you. We've got no apologies. It means whoever is not here, it should be on the absent basis and nothing else. Once again, I should indicate to you that our secretary has been deployed to other activities for this week within Parliament, and she requested the one serving to act on her behalf. So this time they did proper communication with my office, except to say I had no reasons to object, but the fact that it was communicated, it was much better compared to the last time when we were just, you know, shocked when we arrived here. Can we then move to the deliberations part? Quickly to remind members that when we deliberate, we should not forget that the rules are the main pillars of what we should do. Coupled with that, it is the Constitution. Coupled with that, basically, on the rules, we'll be using 235A, which is the amended part of it. Just to remind those who might not be aware of these criteria, amongst other, include the six criteria, A being goes against the spirit, purported, and object of the Constitution, B seeks to initiate legislation beyond the legislative competency of the Assembly, C duplicates existing legislations or legislation awaiting consideration by the Assembly or the Council, D preempt similar legislation soon to be introduced by the National Executive, E will result in money bill, or F is frivolous or vexatious. It is noticed within that particular piece of legislation. These are the key that we always, you know, look into when we are considering a legislation. So I'm going to invite members now to deliberate on the proposal. You would recall that Honorable Frolif briefed us on the 2nd of November about the proposed legislation that we are talking about. You may also see it reflects on the minutes of the 2nd, which I requested that they should be circulated amongst ourselves so that they help you to recall what were the businesses of the day. Again, I'm sure we've got three members who were not part of that briefing, but I think the documents beforehand will help them to join us in the discussion. Can I then invite members to deliberate on the matter? Honorable Kellyan.
Chief Burton, thank you. I was just wondering if you did not want to ask the relevant new members, because some of us were part of the committee deliberations during that time, if there was any additional information that they required, and that because Mr. Troy is easier, he could perhaps elucidate further.
Is there any new member who feel that documents before yourself still need additional information? No, it doesn't look like. Thank you very much. Thanks, Honorable Kellyan, for taking, you know, consideration of your colleagues so that they are on par with yourself. Any input? Thank you, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also thank you for circulating the minutes of that meeting in November. It obviously allowed ourselves to prepare for this meeting. Chairperson, I just want to make four quick points. The first one...
I'm not sure whether is it the mic on.
It is on. Perhaps I must just then raise my voice. Yes. Chairperson, it seems to me that South Africa has already developed quite a good track record in that our existing legislation already favors transparency, and it is already in line with modern legislation in many other countries. So in that respect, I think this proposal is seeking for more transparency and is therefore in line with what this country has achieved over the last few years. Secondly, I think we all know that government is very serious about job creation at this point in time and economic growth. And legislation like this instills confidence in the economy, because I think we want to be seen also in the world internationally as a country which is serious about corruption or anti-corruption measures, and also that this is a safe haven to come and invest and grow your business, etc. I also, my impression of the minutes is that the proposal also tries to protect the office of the presidency. And last night when I was preparing for this meeting, I was thinking, for example, of the time when President George Bush was the president of America, and it was rumored that his family has got enormous interests in the oil business and the oil fields of America, and that some of the decisions taken by the American government at that time was not environmentally friendly, etc., and that it was actually aimed to protect the family interests. Now, I think if people know how far the interests of the president and that of his close relatives go, then at least people will know whether that is true or not, because we to this very day we don't know whether President Bush was benefiting from some of that legislation, etc. And then obviously I think we've already established disclosure systems in many of our legislation for senior officials, and I think it's just fit that also office bearers, and especially the bearer of the highest office in your country, be seen also to abide by the very same regulations that we expect of, say, for example, senior public servants. I think we know that we need all the avenues that are available to combat corruption. And even, just rumors of corruption is bad for the economy, bad for economic growth, bad for job creation, and that one must therefore consider these proposals very favorably and seriously. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Any more? Hopan.
Thank you for the opportunity. Chair, I was not part of that meeting on the 2nd of November, but I went through the deliberation during that meeting, and I came to a conclusion that most of the members, in a matter of principle, people were not against the proposal. But what was the issue? It was about people felt that the president was the target. But what I want to raise here, I don't think that we should lose focus in terms of the principle of the proposal and not to individualize the person. And to realize that we need to ensure that the state resources are allocated on the basis of a fair tender process, not on the basis of the political connection. That is what the proposal needs, that is the intention. So if maybe we can lose, we cannot try to individualize the person. It's not that we want to target this president per se, who is the present president. We're thinking about the future president. So based on those notions, I think we need to support this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kopan. Honorable Kelia.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to again just go back to the presentation that was made on the 2nd of November and the summary thereof, which I believe is very very important for us to remember. What I can recall of the process is that in many respects the President, and in the case of Premiers, they are responsible to adjudicate the ethics and the interests of members of the executive. but you now have a position of the Office of the President, and really we must differentiate between the current incumbent, because we should not personalize matters. It is about the Office of the President and how steps should be implemented to protect that office from any rumors, from media speculation, etc. So what we need to put in place are measures to protect the integrity of the office of the head of state, and to therefore bring into discussion other instruments that we can utilize through the Constitution, such as the role of the public protector as well as the role of the Auditor General, to scrutinize, to open up, to ensure transparency and openness. The Constitution provides for free economic participation, but free economic participation by all can only take place where everybody has an equal opportunity, and therefore it is so important for us to, whatever we do, we ensure that access to tenders and the awarding of tenders is seen to be fair and is seen to be open and transparent, and access to those business opportunities with the state is not for the select few, but it's for the broad public. So I think the principle underlying the introduction is really a very important additional measure to support our constitutional dispensation. And if we are arguing that politicians come and go and they move on, but we must leave behind institutions that will be able to serve the nation fairly going forward, I would like to really recommend that this proposed legislative this legislative proposal is processed through the channel, so that we can, the details of which can be further deliberated, because we are only here to determine on the basis of the criteria that we must assess. We are only here. Goes against the spirit, purport, or object of the Constitution. Seeks to initiate legislation beyond the legislative competence. It's not that. Duplicates existing legislation or legislation awaiting consideration. Nothing has been presented to this committee, to the best of my knowledge, that any such recommendations are in the pipeline. Preempt similar legislation soon to be introduced, clearly, and will result in a money bill, which it will not, and is frivolous or vexatious. I think it is certainly not frivolous or vexatious, and therefore I would like to recommend that it be proceeded with. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Honourable Kopa. Yeah, absolutely. Goodbye.
Thanks, Chair. I think as we deliberate, one would recall the discussions as well. Maybe just firstly clarifying to Honourable Kopa. One of the reasons why, maybe you might, as you read the minutes, that it reflects that it was directed to the current incumbent. You know that the presentation specifically speaks about the President Zuma and highlights President Zuma. And as a matter of principle, when we talk about presidency, we don't talk about president. We talk about president and deputy president. That's the presidency. So I don't think the proposal that we have in front of us speaks about presidency. The proposal that we have in front of us speaks about president. That's one. Because if it spoke about presidency, which is the two, becoming the president and the deputy, I would have agreed in that principle that it speaks about the presidency as an office. That's the first point. But my concern mainly around this proposal, Chair, is a result or a response to media rumors, which have not proven to court, which have not been tested. Because if we were to say the family of President Zuma as per the presentation highlighting the current situation as a motivation to the discussion, was that when you look at the President Zuma's family, they seem to have benefited 15 adults, 134 companies. And the notion or the impression is given that the entire family is corrupt. Hence, you must come with a proposal that tends to protect this. It's my first problem, Chair, that we are going to work on the basis of rumors, of things that have not been tested, because we have institutions, the public protector is there. If we felt that there's somebody who's benefiting wrongly, obviously we can institute a case, the public protector investigates, and therefore we are able to justifiably say that one or two members, or one, two, three, have done this and it has been proven, they've been found to be guilty. The other problem I have, Chair, here, is that we are creating an impression that in South Africa today we don't create genuine entrepreneurs, broadly, especially from black communities. The notion that because you are a member of ANC, which is the ruling party today in the country, when you have a business, it's because you are politically connected. It seems, and it's something that is there even in the public domain, that you are able to recognize Cyril Ramaphosa, Matthew Phosa, Tokyo Sekgwale, and Motsepe as the only people who have been created genuinely as entrepreneurs and therefore business people. When you realize and have the discussion in the public, you realize that there isn't anything that is linked to even the imaging, even our group is worse. I remember one time there was an interview of Duduzile Zuma, where one of the questions that was posed to her was that, how do you feel to be the child's president? And her response was that, at times I wish I can leave South Africa, because most of the time I'm treated unfairly because I'm the child of the president. One of the things, she had to leave one of her roles in sitting, because people started to purport as if she got that role because she's the president's daughter, the soapy sitting. And this is what we are creating as the public. That if you are a child coming from that family, you can never do anything genuine because you are politically connected. Whether we look back to say, when did this business start and all those things, but I'm just worried about the notion that we are not creating entrepreneurs. When we have legislation that has provided ample opportunity and ground for development of entrepreneurs, without even bringing the assumption that they are corrupt. I can imagine my son tomorrow trying to do business will be told that he's corrupt because he's the child of an MP and a member of ANC. The other issue, Chair, that I want to come to is that when you look at the proposal and the motivation, yes, it speaks about disclosure. Why are we not including the entire executive? Why are we specifically saying the president? Why don't we think that Minister of Finance, his entire family extended, should be disclosed? If indeed we are not targeting President Zuma, if truly it's not based on rumors that are out there that are not tested, if truly it's on a principle, why are we not questioning the disclosures of the entire executive? Because my understanding is that Pravin holds more influence as well. Minister Giga, whose current budget is likely to go up. Why are we not questioning that? If indeed we are not targeting President Zuma, there are more influential departments. Why are we not saying those members, their family extended, must disclose where they are doing business? If indeed this is a principle. But again, look at the motivation and you deal with this issue. This proposal seeks to address a government procurement system. If we identify their weaknesses in the government procurement system, why are we not going back to say, let's fix this? What is government doing in terms of making sure that even if I am concerned, I might be sitting in a portfolio committee where I know of projects that might be coming, and I influence the process of getting, to make sure that the procurement system is tight enough, that there are no loopholes, that people who are not supposed to benefit, because that's where the issue is, if we are to deal with procurement system. If indeed we are saying, that's why I was speaking, the issue of disclosures are not enough, but why the need of isolating the president himself? And if we are dealing with the issue of procurement system, because I think the procurement system of government is not only through tender, and it would be wrong to just assume that it's about tendering. It's quite broad. There are quite a number of areas in the procurement system that we deal with, that government deals with. So I'm saying, Chair, we need to look at what is it that this legislative proposal is intending to do. And where I'm sitting, that's why I'm raising all these issues as we discuss, to say my analysis as I read the proposal, it wants to address the issue of a procurement system that is deemed to be insufficient, which I don't think this is the way to deal with it. It deems to isolate the president from the entire executive, therefore creating an impression that the president and his family are corrupt, therefore they must be managed through a legislation, which can be correct. If there's a principle, let's not isolate the president. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kubai. Any further input, Honorable Member?
Thank you, Chairperson. The previous speaker asked a number of questions which I think are quite easy to answer. The first one is, why not the entire executive? The way I read the minutes, the proposal dealt specifically with the fact that we are having a problem with the highest office in government, the public office, in the sense that at present there is no actions possible to protect that office. If anybody would think that Minister Gordon, for example, is involved, then that person can bring it under the attention of the president of the country, and it would be easy for the president to make sure of the facts, and if he or she feels in such a way, then to replace the Minister of Finance. That can be done within a matter of hours. But the problem is that the president itself, himself, herself, cannot be protected in the same way. The Minister of Finance is protected in that way, because he or she knows anybody who's got a problem with his or her actions can go to the president and bring it under his or her attention. But the same route is not available when it comes to the highest office in a country. The next one is, I must point out, Chair, that the previous speaker also asked, why are we talking about the person of the president, and then she herself continued and quoted family members of the president, etc. So truly that argument can also not hold. You cannot speak against an argument and then use that very same argument to verify your argument. And then, Chair, this doesn't only deal with procurement, and it doesn't only deal with government business. We need to protect the office of the president also from other influences which particularly also the private sector may try and exert on such an office. And that is why I think this committee must seriously consider the proposals that there are at the moment, because again, as I've said, we must protect that office. The president is unfortunately, and that we've seen in the media reports that the previous speaker has referred to,
the president is almost unable to defend him or herself in such a case. And I think by telling people, there's your avenue, use that. If you want to accuse me, as president of this country, of any wrongdoing, this is the way that you should deal with that. Go and follow that. And if that is not proven to be true, then shut up. Let's go on, because we've got more important things in this country to do. Thank you.
I'm sure, as the Honourable Solip will be coming, I should make the following remarks. That as we discuss this proposal, we should not move away from the Constitution. The Constitution should be our basic understanding of why are we discussing this thing. I'm sure if you go and check section 83, subsection B of that particular part, it stipulate that the president must uphold, defend, and respect the Constitution as the supreme law of the country. It went further to say on C of the same section, promote the unity of the nation and that which will advance the republic. You go again, you look at section 85, subsection 1. It went to say the executive authority of the republic is vested in the president. Lastly, from the Constitution, I wanted to talk to subsection 2 of 85A. It says the president, of course, collectively with other members, whom is the head of state himself, vested with the republic, you know, in at his birth, implementing national legislation, except where the Constitution or an act of parliament provided otherwise. The reason why I'm talking about this, Honourable Members, I wanted us to look at the Executive Members Ethic Act, Act Number 82 of 1998. It is the one that it tells us what are the things that are supposed not to be done. And the reason I started with the Constitution is because I wanted us to say the President is obliged by the Constitution to work in line with the pieces of legislation that we are talking about. If members of parliament or parliament arrive at the determination that the president is not doing in terms of the constitution or any other pieces of legislation appointed by themselves, I'm sure also the constitution provides for solution for that matter. Thank you, Honorable Trolley.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I went through these documents because 2nd of November was some time ago to refresh my mind, and this was the submission I made. But I want to comment and thank the committee for the comprehensive minutes that were circulated to the members, because I thought they were exceptionally accurate, and even the comments made by members while I was presenting are properly recorded. And I remember when I made the presentation, there was some objection that I was using names and even named the president. And I said at the time I was doing that to illustrate and use an example. Now, I want to just, for the record and on a point of order, clarify what I did say about how many companies and how many people. I'd like to refer you to the first paragraph of the minutes.
Maybe on an other point, I wanted us to understand that you are now participating as a member of parliament, not a sponsor. You are now sitting as a member of the committee. We should take it from that level, because the
right,
opportunity for you as a sponsor to brief, we have given that. Sure. Now we are deliberating on an equal footing as members. Okay.
Thank
so
you, Chair.
It's important to do that.
Thank you. As a member of Parliament, on a point of order, I would like to raise the fact that nowhere in my presentation and motivation did I make any allegation of corruption, fraud. Nowhere did I purvey the notion or the perception that any of those people that were involved in those companies were committing fraud or corruption. Nowhere. I've read the minutes. I read my presentation. Yes, I did use names for purposes of illustration, because they were already widely in the media. But nowhere in my presentation did I mention the word corruption or imply that we are not producing entrepreneurs in this country. If we don't build entrepreneurship in this country across the board, this country will fail. So I don't want any misconception here that I came to malign any of those people or the president. I used names then as an example, and I apologize during that presentation. This issue is about amendments to the legislative proposal to amend the Executive Members Ethics Act. And I'm very pleased, Chair, that you referred to us to those chapters in the Constitution about the President having the executive and supreme authority in the country. The Constitution does not speak about a presidency. It speaks about the President. Because, Chairperson, the President, even though there might be some very influential departments, as the Honourable Member mentioned, the President appoints the ministers of those departments at his or her pleasure. So he is the supreme authority in the country, or that officers, not the individual officers. So, Chair, this legislation or proposed legislation is about dealing with issues about self-adjudication, because the President, in Section 2, has to comply. But the President does oversight and evaluates and adjudicates the declarations of the Deputy President and the whole Cabinet. The issue here is that the President has to be the referee, the player, and the TV ring. And we say that that is wrong. Not because it's President Zuma, but because you can't be the ref, the player, and the TV ref. Not one person. The other issue is that was raised by the Honourable Member is dealing with the state, doing business with the state. Yes, that is a different issue. That is about changing supply chain management and the whole tender process. And that is a completely different piece of legislation. But what we are saying is that if members of the President's family do business with the state to protect the office of the President and to protect the integrity of those emerging entrepreneurs, if they are emerging or existing entrepreneurs, for their integrity protection, so that the people don't say they got the contract because of influence peddling, that we're saying let the Auditor General scrutinize those deals to make sure that they are acceptable so that everybody's integrity is being protected. That's what this is about. Chairperson, the President himself has on numerous occasions said that he wants to lead the war on corruption. From when he was the Deputy President, that was one of his mandates, when he was leading the moral regeneration movement, he was to lead the war on corruption. What better way to say, I'm opening up my office to public scrutiny, and if you want to assess what my assets are and what my interests are, go onto the media website, go onto the presidency website, and go and scrutinize what I've got. That would be the best way to show I'm opening up myself to scrutiny to the public because I want to be beyond reproach. And I don't have a problem talking about the presidency, but let me just say to the Honourable Member, the example you quoted about Dudu Zille Zuma, unfortunately, it's something that goes with the territory of being a family member of a president. It's not unique to South Africa, and it's not unique to Dudu Zille Zuma. I've read family accounts of members of families of other presidents across the world. If you are a family member of a president, you come under a magnifying glass of public glare, spotlight and glare. That just goes with the territory. It's not unique to South Africa. We mustn't be thin-skinned about this. This is about us making legislation that puts the president beyond reproach and guards the president's integrity. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Sunday.
Thank you. Chair, I think it's easy to make statements and then afterwards say we didn't mean to say corruption. That's not what we said. But the perception is created, and that we must be realistic about as well. Perception has been created. And that is the sad part of this. Also, I think the other problem too is that we're talking here, and I've listened to both speakers from the opposition very carefully, talking here about developing legislation aimed at individuals. You never develop the legislation under whatever circumstances regarding an individual. That's the impression that is created here.
Point of order, Honourable Trolley. I think the member must be given an opportunity to speak. speak and not be interrupted, because we allowed him to speak.
Any
comment? Chairperson, on a point of order, I never did.
We'll take that into consideration. Honourable Van Beek.
Chairperson, I'm just raising a point of order like the last member. I never ever once did say that this legislation is aimed at any one individual. I categorically said I use it as an example, but it's aimed at the president.
She's emphasizing that to say you may use other ways, but the perception, that's what she acknowledged, that you did not use the way. I think that's where she was.
I'm sure you can continue on that for something.
The fact of the matter is that we must be very, very careful in terms of doing that. I mean, you can't create legislation. Yeah, I must be very careful, because if I want to be politically, I would say to satisfy media coverage. And that is the danger that we are dealing with in this committee. More and more so, unfortunately. More and more so. We are dealing with issues that are created so that we can lift images in the media. The fact of the matter is, Chairperson, that we need to look at what is in place. And there are things that are in place. If we need to strengthen what is in place, let's strengthen what is in place. But let's not legislate around individuals or around offices then. Let's legislate where the problem is. And that's where I agree with the Honourable Kubai as well. Let's legislate for loopholes that exist. It's unfortunate now, you know, the media was here the day that the presentation was made, if I remember correctly, quite in numbers. And it's unfortunate now that, you know, it's easy to say that now that that's not our intention, but that's what was covered. That is what was covered. And we can't run away from the reality. And I just think, Chairperson, we need to be realistic in terms of what is in place, the intentions that Cabinet also have set in terms of strengthening those guidelines for Cabinet members. We must stop creating the impression in this country that politicians are corrupt. We've got a responsibility ourselves to do that, not to do the opposite. We're undermining our own positions.
Thank you, Honourable Van Beek. While I'm going to call on Honourable Killian to speak, I think again I should read the Executive Members Ethics, you know, Act, Section 2. Subsection 2, B, 2 and 3, Roman figure 2 and 3. Roman figure 2, it reads as follows, that the cabinet member, deputy ministers and MEC, acting in a way that is inconsistent with their offices, we should provide this particular tool. It's making that sure that it's prohibit them to act in that way. And Roman figure 3 says, exposing themselves to any situation involves the risk of conflict between their official responsibility and their private interest. I'm reading these things because we should not, you know, discuss under the elusive that there is vacuum, there are areas that have been covered by the law. I wanted us to have a clear understanding. I'm not saying anyone is right. I'm just, you know, exposing this thing to all of us so that we have a common understanding. Honourable Kenya.
Chairperson, yes, I get a distinct impression that that we basically differ in our view of the type of state that is created in terms of the Constitution. And I'm saying that because what is envisaged in the Constitution, yes, there are elements of procurement, but that is dealt with elsewhere. Here we're dealing with ethics and public life. Now, we are arguing for greater transparency so as to stop media speculation. So as to protect the office of the president and the minister, because that has been the problem. That has been the problem, and that has on occasion compelled members of the opposition to say, we have received information, we now have to table it to the public protector. Why? Because the members' ethics code is adjudicated essentially by the head of state. And if nobody is adjudicating the office of the head of state, if he is indeed the referee and the player at the same time, he is the adjudicator, but nobody is overseeing that. That is where all the rumors start. So in order to combat negative media, you need to say there's nothing untoward in this process. This has happened, etc., etc. This is what I own. This is what I've had. This is so it's public access, because the state where we are supposed to create basic values and principles governing public administration, section 195. And we should read the Constitution in its entirety, not only quote from sections that suit us. 195. Public administration must be governed by the democratic values and principles enshrined in the Constitution. And essentially, the executive and the president, as the executive authority, is supposed to oversee those principles, and just a few of these principles. Transparency, G, 1G, says transparency must be fostered by providing the public with timely, accessible, and accurate information. And we can read that in conjunction with sections referring to procurement, finance, chapter of the Constitution, etc. What it ultimately means is there must be no perception that people in high office, irrespective of the individuals who occupy those positions, because we must remember, whatever the thoughts in the minds of the current governing parties come and go, and other parties take over, and there's a new government in office. And whatever is created today must stand the test of scrutiny of future parties that will take over the governing seats of Parliament. And we must say, and especially it's a test for the ANC, would the current provision as it stands, would it be comfortable going forward where there's a clear separation of adjudication of the office of the president? And I'm specifically saying that, irrespective, I don't know what is true, I don't know what is rumor, I don't want to involve myself there, because the Honorable Kubai is correct. Nothing has been tested, but this is rumors and perceptions is what is negative. And you can never counter that with anything else but factual information. And that's what we're calling for. We're calling for adjustments to legislation. And I cannot see that it is in conflict with what is said in Section 85 of the Executive Authority of the Republic. Because if it says here, implementing national legislation except where the Constitution or Act of Parliament provides otherwise, nothing that is here proposed is in conflict with constitutional principles or is in conflict with what the Constitution says. So if we are saying that we do not agree with the principle of building in additional measures so as to protect the office of the president, then we must agree to disagree. We must conclude the meeting, because I fear that we're running close to the end of the meeting, and we must now either decide that we will again meet and see if we can convince each other, or just say we will not convince each other, and therefore, you know, we must finalize this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Killian is making the job easier for us, because she is saying it's either we convince each other or not. Now I am saying we are not going to convince each other here. The other member made mention of job creation, which is correct. So what I'm asking, where does that fit in this case? he was talking about the job, the first speaker, the job creation. Number two, I am not sure, Chairperson, whether I would agree, even if you were talking about the president. Because people here, people who are in the highest office, are also human beings. Therefore, they are related to each other. Number four, Chairperson, I am saying this for the last time. It's useless to oppose for the sake of you are in an opposition party. Here we are not going to allow this opposition in front of us to drag our president's name. You can name your ex, Mrs. Killian, Honorable Killian. You can name your subsections. We are not going to allow that. Case is closed. That is final. Thank you.
Chair, the first one, I think there was a misunderstanding.
As you are doing this, I'm sure we are sitting
otherwise
under, you know, a serious challenge of time.
Pressure on you from the time. The first one, there was an impression that was created that I said something that I did not say. Noting that the way we operate in the community, we hardly even stop each other as we speak. The honorable member spoke about me contradicting myself as I made an example. And my example was precisely to showcase that you have a challenge whereby in the public eye, it has been created that President Zuma's family is benefiting wrongly. And Honorable Trollope says that he never said that. The article he quotes as part of his presentation gives that suggestion in the Mail and Guardian. And the following articles that weekend of City Press and Sunday Times. Even immediately after this meeting where he presented, following articles gave the impression of that. Hence I made my comments. Because I'm using what was happening here. I never went and concocted something that did not exist, Chair. I must clarify that. It's based on, because this is what has been presented to us as a founding basis of part of the argument. But you see, Chair, I have a problem. If we are going to sit here and create legislation to address rumors and stop media speculation, how many media speculations are out there? If you are going to literally, as members, sit, look for articles, this is what the media is saying, we are going to create legislation to stop the speculation on the media about it, really. We should be taking ourselves much serious than that. And the other issue, Chair, when you look at Chapter 9A, where it speaks about the public protector, the public protector can investigate anyone.
Yeah.
That's why when the disclosures of the president was delayed, the public protector was able to speak on it.
Yeah.
And we are creating an impression here as if there is no other mechanism in place currently. That's not true. That's not true. We have a Chapter 9 institution that is functioning very well, independently. And if there are issues, that covers what we are raising. When the president delayed in his disclosures, he is not the supreme law and order, alpha and omega of this country. Otherwise, we are also reducing ourselves as parliament as non-functioning. Because we play an oversight over the executive. If the president becomes an alpha and omega in this country, what is other arms of government doing?
I'm afraid, Honorable Kuwai,
so, Chair, I just thought, yeah, let me just stop there to say my last point is to say we reject this proposal with its intents and purposes. I think that is just frivolous and vexatious.
I think, Honorable Members, I would need your guidance. I want to believe that all of us sitting here, we could see that there is a division amongst ourselves, something that I hated in all my heart. I don't believe in, you know, taking decisions over votes, but if it comes to a push, you're left with no option. I was of the view that maybe let's allow this thing very, very carefully to say in the next meeting, both parties sitting in this committee will be given their last, you know, presentation. And each of all of the parties, your last presentation, which will then determine whether we are going to take a decision on a vote or on consensus, as it will be. If you agree on it, can we then raise the matter on that particular level? Honourable Sholim.
Thanks, Chairperson. A comment, and then I'd like to respond to what you said. First of all,
let's leave on how do we move forward, because we are outside the time now.
No, sure, Chair. I want to propose how we move forward, because I want to say that, you know, if a member
on
of this committee...
On the point of order, Trollip is not a member of the committee to decide on a way forward, Chair, unless if he has been formally adopted to the meeting. So it's members of the committee who must decide on a way forward.
Chair, then I won't decide then, Chair, but can I make a comment, please, because I have to respond to a comment that was made.
You see, the reason why I stopped here is because I realized that all comments are very important,
With respect, Chair, you stopped her after she'd made her comment. I would like to comment and respond.
I'm sure you would recall, Trolley, that I intervened in between when she was still there, you know, deliberating.
But she had an opportunity.
Let's be honest and be fair to ourselves. Let's look at how do we move forward from this.
I propose closure, Chief. Accepting the
in the next meeting we allow ourselves to each party to make
even
a
final. The sponsor will be given that opportunity.
Mover here. Honourable Collier.
I second.
There you go. I'm sure we will then, in the next meeting, allow on our agenda. The first thing it will be parties to speak to this, and then we arrive at the determination, then move to other business. Honourable Kopat.
Thank you, Chair. I think presently when I'm reading the environment and the way people were discussing the whole thing, as a Democratic Alliance, we strongly believe that if we conclude this matter now, it's not going to make any difference because people have already made their judgment. So we believe that we need to vote on this matter and conclude it.
I will second that.
But if she said Democratic Party and your second is still Democratic Party, did you get it?
Democratic Alliance.
I'm not sure whether we should. They're saying let's cut and dry, and I thought it will be unfair, you know, to deprive members to consolidate what we have been saying in wrapping their debate, which I thought I'm trying to seek a fair balance, you know, opportunity for all. And I think I would stand by this to say let's adjourn the meeting, and then in the next sitting we will start by finalizing this matter, allowing leaders of parties to do their final remark, and then if it means voting, then we'll vote at that.
And also the sponsor of the motion?
Like I'm sure the proposer said, we will also allow him to do his, you know,
final. Are they
final
retracting from the proposal?
I'm sure it's obviously that in terms of democracy, they understand democracy. Democracy is a very...
Let's have it formally, Chair, if they are retracting.
Honourable Gopat, are you then agreeing with us on that? We will have the last dice in the next meeting.
Okay, Chief, fine.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Other businesses will be deferred for the next meeting. Thank you.
That's the mood in which we discuss things.